Hour number two of the Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you on Snowmageddon, and it is increasingly becoming Snowmageddon. It's still not really sticking as much to the grass as I would have thought, but we're getting there. Plows are coming down the roads.
They're plowing.
They're doing their jobs, which gives me increasing hope that I'll be able to leave here after the Predators game, but we'll see. What do you want to talk about here? Because I don't really have anything planned.
Well, I mean, I could go on and on about the UFC, I don't want to bore anybody with that. Is there anything going on with wrestling today? Not at all? No, yes.
Saturday night's main event is coming up today.
Which is, it's in a mid-card at best, so.
Really? It's not great. We get to watch Trick Willie, though.
Is it kind of like a comparison to UFC Fight Night?
Sort of. Is Fight Night like the equivalent of a Monday Night Raw?
It's like NXT, if that makes sense.
Okay.
It's like the stomping grounds, proving grounds for up-and-coming MMA fighters. I mean, they have the Dana White Contender Series. I consider that more NXT comparable. Mm. And then if whoever wins the Contender Series gets an automatic contract to fight in the UFC, and you know, if they win that fight in the UFC, then their career might just skyrocket into a different atmosphere. But if they lose, I mean, they're back to square one. They probably don't even get retained with the contract. So
this is a dumb question.
No.
Do they have relegation in UFC?
Essentially, yeah. I mean, if Dana White doesn't say, hey, you're not getting another contract, they just don't sign you back, and then they could go to like Bellator or LFA or Cage Warriors, which is a bunch of different other MMA leagues. Mm. So
Cage Warriors.
Bellator is kind of like the B to the UFC. So it's like UFC is A, then you have Bellator at B, then like LFA at three.
So it's like the Premier League and then
the EFL.
EFL.
Yeah. EFL 1, yeah. EFL 2, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily relegation. It's just more of they don't, you know, incorporate them when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah.
They're all separate entities. It's just these fighters are independent. Kind of like boxing. You know, you gotta pay your camps. Like when you win the purse, you're not winning all that $200K. You're winning, I'd say, roughly like 70 of it, maybe 60 of it.
Yeah.
Because the rest of it goes to your camp and everybody else that's helped involved with you.
Yeah.
Promoters and so forth.
Today's kind of a loaded slate in sports, but it's all in the early window because everyone's moved up because of the weather.
This is kind of odd. The fact that we're on the radio and Kentucky basketball, of all things, is on the television.
Oh, I know. That's why I'm semi-distracted between the basketball of my team and the impending doom going on outside as a blizzard.
How should Kentucky match up against Ole Miss here?
They should win. They should win. But Kentucky's missing three starters, which is not great.
Yeah.
Ole Miss is kind of resurging. But I think home will play a factor in that. They're playing in Rupp. They need a win. They've won four in a row, but they need a win heading into Nashville on Tuesday to take on Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt needs a win today, too. They play Mississippi State, which you can hear over on 94.9 The Fan, pregame beginning at 10:30.
Which is a little under 30 minutes away.
Which is, yeah, about 24 minutes away. So, yeah, I want to talk about something in college basketball a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I may just do that right now.
Oh.
So there is a thing going on right now over Alabama basketball. They have decided to bring in a G Leaguer to play college basketball. This was a guy that played on their team about 3 years ago, since got drafted, went to three different G League teams, and is now back at Alabama just because of a simple restraining order. To which I ask, his name's Charles Bediako. He's playing today against Tennessee. He will probably only get 1 to 2 games under his belt before the NCAA rules him ineligible because the judge that ruled him eligible was an Alabama donor, which is bad. But to which I ask you, why can't the NCAA just use some logic? Why can't they just say, hey, you were in an NBA draft, you were drafted by a professional league, you shouldn't be validated to play college basketball because that's quite literally taking a step back? I mean, the G League is a league higher than college basketball. Maybe not as prestigious, but in terms of technicality, the G League is the step above the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going backwards because he couldn't make it in the big leagues. It's kind of like, what's the best way to put this? It would be like if, you know, Will Levis decided, I can't make it in the NFL, I'm just going to go back down and play college football again because I have enough eligibility.
But Connor, he technically didn't play an NBA game, so that makes it so much different.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. It doesn't.
It doesn't
it's
at all.
Such a dumb argument. He didn't play an NBA game. Yeah, neither did I. Does that make me eligible?
And again, I think it's more of the NCAA has lost its leverage.
They have no backbone.
Stuff. Exactly.
Zero backbone. I mean, they're caving to corporate sponsorships, as we're learning. Did you see this news that came out yesterday?
Mm-mm.
They're going to allow jersey patches across all college sports.
I did see this.
Which is, I mean, it could work for basketball and maybe baseball. Football is where I think it'll be really weird.
So explain to me the jersey patches. Is that more for like trading cards where they cut them off and put them into trading cards? Or what's the jersey patch for?
No, I think based on what I'm understanding, it's kind of like what you see in the MLB and the NBA where they literally have...
Debut patches?
No. Like you'll have like a Kroger patch on your jersey.
Reds mentioned.
Yeah, Reds mentioned. You know how the Cardinals have...
Purity.
Yes.
Or Purina.
Purina, yeah.
Purina dog food, yeah.
Yeah, that's how the Predators, they have Regions Bank. Right. So I think it's going to be similar to that. I think you'll see like Arkansas wearing Tyson or Walmart or something like that.
They're already food sponsors in their field, yeah.
Yeah, they do have food sponsors. Yeah, they literally have the Tyson logo right on their field. I mean, you could see Kentucky wearing Kroger, which I would venture to say that's probably going to be what's going to happen. You know who has the weirdest jersey sponsorship? The Orlando Magic. Do you know who there is?
Is it Disney?
It is Disney.
That is a little odd. It's pretty Looney Tune if you ask me, and that's not Disney
either. It looks weird.
My guess is like the teams that already have on-field sponsors, I would think they'd just be the same sponsor like on the jerseys, but maybe not. Maybe they'll want to
switch it up. Like the Vols would have...
It's probably just going to be Pilot. Yeah.
Yeah, the Vols would have Pilot. Does Mississippi State have an on-field sponsor?
I don't believe so. I know C Spire is their like headphones for the head coaches. They use C Spire for that.
They may use that. Maybe it'll be that then.
Maybe.
Maybe they can get that local Publix to sponsor them.
Yeah,
only thing worth visiting in Starkville.
Oh, no, there's a lot more in Starkville.
I was about to say, those are fighting words in front of who you're talking to.
Look, you can go to the Hump. You watch some phenomenal basketball. Go to the Dude, Duty Noble, the baseball facility.
Naming all the stadiums.
I mean, I could.
Dude.
And
the Dude.
The one place to go eat.
Hey, the Dude might be the best baseball stadium in the country for college baseball.
It is. It's probably the Mecca. The Mecca, baby. Let's not forget about the left field lounge. It turned into the right field lounge. Bring your own grill. You go feed some of the baseball players.
There.
That's one cool thing about the Dude is when you go watch a baseball game, the right field lounge actually feeds the right fielders on the other team, which is kind of funny. Like when you're going up against Ole Miss, they even still feed the rival team. And I think it was one time they were feeding them like Sloppy Joes or something, and the dude was not having a good game. I just think that's so clever. You're not really doing any food poison per se. It's more of just strategically, feeding the guy what's not going to make his stomach feel great. So, but I will say before you mentioned something, Connor, you guys brought up a phenomenal topic when it comes to patches on jerseys because, again, this is – Greg Sankey and the Big Ten's commissioner as well saying, look, we're establishing a foundation of revenue before we break away.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole 12-team format of the playoff, they're staying with that next season. When they want to branch away from the NCAA, guess what they're going to already have? A foundation of sponsors that are going to furnish their breakaway league, if that's the case. So you guys make a great point there.
Yeah, I think it was trending in this direction. I told you a couple months ago, I think we're trending in towards the multi-year contract thing in college sports, and turns out we were already there. Mm-hmm. This whole Darian Mensah situation, and you had it with the Damon Williams for
Washington. Now he's back.
He's back because he didn't want to cave to
awkward.
The lawsuit. Real quick, let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, 615-737-1025, and welcome in our good friend, Dr. Locke. Dr. Locke, go ahead.
What's up, fellas? What do you who'd you piss off, man? You guys, who drew the short straw to be on Snowmageddon in there, man? It's crazy. I thought only us car guys were dumb enough to open up today. We're cheap labor. We're 100% commission. So our owner thinks we're gonna sell a bunch of cars today.
Oh yeah.
What you got for us, Dr. Locke?
Well, I was calling in, and then you guys brought up a good point. I wouldn't mind talking. I hear your point on the kid making a little G League money, but honestly, me, you, everybody there, we make more than G Leaguers. I mean, if you look at the salary of a G League, what are they making? $50,000, $70,000? They're doing it so they get a call up, right? They're doing it in hopes that they can, you know, hook on to an NBA team. But the little bit of money he made in a G League, he'd make more NIL if he's a top player. I mean, Flag last year probably made $1 million, $2 million NIL money versus G League guys. So, I mean, if the guy made, what, 60, 70, 80 grand playing in the G League, I mean, is that a big deal? I mean, he would have made more playing on an NIL money. So if you look at it that way, it's just, you know, I'm just playing the devil's advocate. On the other side, what's the big deal?
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Locke. I appreciate the call.
Hey, be safe. Guys, get out of there before the ice hits.
Yeah, we'll do our best.
I'm on the road right now, and all you're able to do is get up to about 30, 35, and it's deteriorating pretty good.
Where are you at exactly, Dr. Locke, on the road?
I'm crossing B&A. My dealership's out in Mount Juliet, and there's nobody out here. I mean, I already passed three wrecks.
And we don't even
have ice. Once the ice hits, you're not driving on this.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, I appreciate the call, Dr. Locke, and you stay safe as well.
Yeah. All right, fellas.
All right. But yeah, he raises a good point to play devil's advocate. But I think for me, it's the precedent. This is a guy that played at this university 3 years ago and declared for the draft and couldn't make it, and now is back. I understand the money side of it. But at the same time, you know, it's the precedent. You're opening the floodgates for even worse things to come.
And I look at it from a actual competitive standpoint. You're getting, I wouldn't say professional minutes, but you're getting that exposure at the next level. It's a little bit above college basketball. I mean, you could say it's the land of misfit toys for college basketball players that didn't make it to the NBA. But yet it's still, I don't know, European basketball is kind of up there. It depends on what league you're in. But I don't know, the G League, it's the in-between of college and pro, and you're still getting a little bit of a upper leverage of skill.
It would be like a baseball player playing college baseball, getting drafted, going to AAA, and then realizing they're not going to get called up to the majors, so they come back down.
Yeah.
That's the equivalent to me. And I mean, you can get into the money side of this thing. They don't make a lot, but it's the precedent. It's the, you have gone down a level because you couldn't succeed.
Right.
And you're opening the floodgates for more of this. I mean, can LeBron James come back to college? He's got 4 years of eligibility.
That'd be awful.
He never played college basketball. My team's wide open. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Coming up next, let's get into a little bit of Preds hockey.
Oh, yeah.
They're in action today against the Utah Mammoth, coming off of a massive win against the Ottawa Senators. They were down 3-0. A Steven Stamkos hat trick lifts them over. They win 5-3. So I'll ask you, can the Preds be consistent enough to shore themselves up a spot in the upcoming playoffs? We'll get to that on the other side. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you on this snowy Saturday morning here on 102.5 The Game. Why this one?
Just because I felt like it. I don't know. I have no answer for you.
It's Chris Sanders singing to us.
Great song.
It is a good song. Do you know what movie this is from?
Oh.
Neither of you know?
It's a Batman movie, isn't it?
It is Batman.
Is it really?
Batman Forever.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and it has nothing to do with the movie whatsoever.
Huh. Interesting.
Welcome back to the Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. We're taking you up till 11:30 to get you set for Preds hockey. So let's talk a little bit of Preds hockey. Coming off of a big, big win against the Ottawa Senators, a team that they're in competition for that wild card spot. Or are they in the Eastern Conference? Am I dumb?
I'm sorry. I missed.
Is Ottawa in the
They're in the West.
They're in the West. Okay.
Ottawa's in the East. Utah's in the West. I was thinking about today. I'm sorry. You were correct.
Damn it.
Anyways.
They are in the midst of a playoff battle. And look, we got a long way to go. We got to get to the Olympic break first. We got to get to the trade deadline, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
But regardless, a win is a win. And they got a big one the other day. They won 5-3, once down 3-0. Steven Stamkos with a hat trick. And he played phenomenally. He's playing phenomenally
yeah.
in general. But I ask you this because I want to know, do you think the Preds can be consistent enough to shore themselves up a playoff spot? Because they're kind of doing this thing where they win one, and then they drop one, and then they win another one, and then maybe they'll get a little bit of a streak going, like win two or three in a row, and then they'll drop one. So I'm wondering if they can get consistent enough to where they start stringing some wins together, because that's what's going to help them get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that away trip they were just on previously a couple weeks ago, and they won, I think it was 5 out of 7, which is kind of what you needed. And again, that put them back on track to be in some form of a wild card contention. I still think this is a playoff team. I think they can make a push at a cup run this year. Again, I'm being pretty optimistic when I say that. Some people may disagree. But again, you have a core that's not getting any younger, and yet they are capitalizing on all their opportunities, like you just mentioned with Stamkos, his 16th career hat trick this past week. That just goes to show you the guy still has a lot left in the tank. This Preds team reminds me a little bit of the Pittsburgh Penguins. You look at that core with, you know, Genny Malkin, Sidney Crosby, and they just keep supplementing younger players around them to continue to. I think Braden Rust is on that team still. I mean, that's a team.
Brian Rust.
Yeah. You look at that team, and they just continue to keep building around them. That's kind of what the Preds are doing right now with a lot of those players. And again, I can say it, Johnny January comes back from the IR.
He's coming.
Gets himself a goal. Led the team with, I think, 5 shots the other night. So again, not saying he was a key factor in that win, but yet he's getting back on the right track, hopefully.
We've got about 7 more days of Johnny January, so
it's all that matters.
Hopefully.
He's a late bloomer, but you know what? He capitalized on the first day back.
Yeah, well, February may not be a problem for him because there's a total of like 8 games that month.
Yeah.
We could have Marchy March. That's coming.
Marchy March and the boys.
March.
Yes.
DJ Marchy March.
That's right. Hey, Connor Newt.
Coin that.
Yep. Right there. Clip
coin
it.
That. That's mine. Can anyone... If anyone uses it, yeah, Kim,
clip
please
it.
Clip that.
There you go.
Please and thank you. Marchy March is coming. Look, I think as we approach the deadline here, I'm not sure there's a lot that they need to solidify themselves with.
Right.
They've kind of got the pieces that, you know, competitors search for. You've got veterans that are delivering. You've got young guys who are showing their promise. You've got some role players and some glue guys like Justin Barron and Eric Halla, guys like that. I, as far as who they can buy, I'm not sure they're in a position to do that. I'm kind of thinking this is a group that's playing well enough together that I'm not sure they need to buy. So I'm not saying they're complete and total cup contenders, but right. At the same time, you kind of have everything you want right now moving forward. So if you can get consistent enough and shore yourself up a spot in the wild card, hopefully that wild card one spot, because if you're playing wild card two, you're probably going to get matched up with Colorado. I think that this is a team that's capable of winning some playoff games and maybe even a playoff series.
Yeah, the one issue I have with the Preds right now, and just watching them when I was at the Ottawa game the first couple of periods, was just the defense.
Words
was,
are hard. My words are hard today, too.
A little chilly, I guess that's
it's
why.
It's cold.
I don't know. The defense was a little scarce for me when it came to those 3 goals. And Nick Hague and even Brady Shea when he was in the mix a little bit. I think it was the second goal. It went past Nick Hague. He could have gotten in front of it. And I was like, what's going on here? This team just doesn't look as enthusiastic as they normally are. But that's just something that needs to be fixed on the back end. I think the offensive play is there. This Preds team, again, I think once Marchessault gets his feet under him a little bit, they stop relying on a Stamkos. They stop relying on a Ryan O'Reilly. And you can start incorporating the Philip Forsbergs. Reed Schaefer went down to Milwaukee, so which is a good thing. They're getting him more minutes because the Olympic break's coming up. But you look at some of those guys, and you hope you can start implementing them more and they get more opportunities on net. Like you mentioned Eric Halla. Eric Halla's been a phenomenal piece to this team this year.
He's been a great signing.
He was on the third line the other night and did a really good job.
That was a signing I was really skeptical about because I was like, what could this guy possibly provide that they don't already have?
Like, you already had him. You just had him.
Yeah, you just had him, and it didn't work out, and you let him go, and now he's back. What's he going to provide? And to his credit, he stepped it up. He's a great puck facilitator. He can get to the goal if he needs to. I think he's not ever going to be your best player, but I think he's a key piece in this roster, and he's been a great glue guy this season. So I think that's probably a key for the Preds is getting the most out of your guys. There are some you're getting the most out of right now. Steven Stamkos just had a hat trick the other day. Roman Josi is playing Roman Josi hockey again. Mm-hmm. Philip Forsberg is always going to be Philip Skorsberg to me. UC Saros, I think, is the one to me that from a goaltending perspective, I think he needs to start getting a little bit more consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he gave up three goals in the first period the other day against Ottawa. The defense and Saros as well played a lot better for the second two-thirds of the game. So it's a matter of stringing together good performances. Let's not forget the week or the game before against Buffalo, Saros was pulled for Onan. So I like UC Saros. I think giving him that contract was probably the right decision based on the high level of play he's capable of getting to.
Right.
It's just a matter for him of getting there as consistently as possible. And it's the UC Saros experience. Sometimes he'll have a shutout, and then the next game he'll give up five goals. So
yeah, you know, yesterday, not Elliot Freeman, but Greg Wyshynski was on with Big Joe and I, and I even asked him about UC Saros, and when it comes to the Olympics coming up, like, could that be a concern for the Nashville Predators? Could UC Saros be seeing too many minutes when it comes to going up against, you know, some of the best of the best in the Olympics? Because, again, you're taking on probably 200-300 shots in the whole entire, I guess, tournament and runaway for competing for the gold medal. And we all know, and we've seen it with the Four Nations, all these guys give their heart and soul for the U.S. to be the Stars and Stripes. But, I mean, for UC Saros being the netminder of his country, I think that carries a lot of weight. And you wonder if that's a good thing or a bad thing going forward, because when you're done with the Olympics, does that help him going into the second half of the season?
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll continue the conversation on the Preds. What needs to happen before we hit the Olympic break, which, quite frankly, I'm excited to start talking about Olympic hockey, meaningful Olympic hockey with NHL players. I can't wait for that. But we got a couple of weeks to get through before we get there. So what do the Preds need to do before the Olympic break hits to carry some momentum over until afterwards? 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll do that coming up next right here on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you on 102.5 The Game. TD and Chris Sanders would be so proud of you right now. As am I.
I appreciate Frazier's dancing. It makes me feel really good about myself.
It's every song.
Every time.
It's every song. It's good stuff. Who sings this? Is this Prince?
Oh, yeah.
This is.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Anyways, welcome back to the Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Kristen Skelton here with you. Talking a little bit of Preds hockey, and the Olympic break is coming up in just a couple of weeks. It's about 2.5 weeks off from NHL hockey, as you have some Preds going overseas to Milan to play in the Olympic hockey games, which will be a really, really fun time. The others will be just taking a glorified all-star break, which is good for them as well. But we got a couple of weeks to get through before we get there. So I ask you, what needs to happen for the Predators before we get to that all-star break or Olympic break to carry some momentum into the rest of the season?
Well, you know where I kind of stand on this. If the Preds are in a wild card one spot, I even mentioned on this show and others, they should probably look at, again, people are maybe not in the camp of them adding. I think, you know, they got a decent core. But if they can get at least a small addition to the roster and maybe offload something, then sure. I think that's something they might look into. Because, again, you wonder how long can you continue with this lineup week in and week out and the inconsistencies. If you can add a piece that can make your team more consistent as the season progresses, I think that's something to look into. And if you're Barry Trotz, we know he's not afraid to do any, you know, additions or subtractions to this roster. I think right now he understands that this core is here to stay for the most part. But if you, again, if you can offload or add one or two players, there's no harm in that.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of finding consistency.
Right.
It's a matter of stringing together good wins, and you're going to play some divisional opponents. You start with one today against the Utah Mammoth in an Ice Age game, which is appropriate for the weather today. But I think it's a matter of stringing together consistent wins, getting your players to play more consistently as players.
Yeah.
Getting players to play consistently as players is hilarious. Stamkos, I think, is starting to kick into high gear.
Mm-hmm.
Forsberg, I think, is the steady hand that this team rides on, as is Yossi. Saros, I mentioned, is the guy I'm worried about. Maybe not worried, but concerned that he can't get to a consistent level, because he'll do this thing where he has a shutout game or a one goal game and he has, you know, 37 saves or so. And then the next game he'll give up 5 goals in the first period and a half. So
yeah.
It's a matter of finding consistency. I think young guys need to find their place on this roster and step up, and I think they've done a really good job of that this season. Luke Evangelista in particular, but I really like the direction that Fedor Svechkov is trending as well. And quite honestly, he's one of my favorite players just because of how hilarious he is. But I think it's just a matter of finding your groove. And I want to hear Pizza Party as much as I possibly can, which I had to educate Jake Lyman on what that song is. Do you know Pizza Party?
No, I know what a Pizza Party is, but no.
Okay,
I
Pizza Party is the Preds' win song. It is sung by one Mr. Factor, Ryan O'Reilly, and his children's band.
Pizza Party.
I'll have Christian play it for you.
Interesting. I didn't know this was a thing. I knew it was
actually do that right now. Look up Pizza Party by Ryan O'Reilly. You'll find it.
Huh. The more tell me you when know, you have it. The more you know about the fact.
It's fantastic. Huh. It's great content. But I want to hear that song as much as possible because that means they're getting good wins.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And looking at this roster right now, and especially in the standings, like, you know, this game, the Utah Mammoth hold the wild card one spot with 56 points. The Preds currently are at 52 points. That's 4 points off the top spot. They're only, I think, in second is San Jose. And again, that's another team that I mentioned a few weeks back in saying that they're going to be inconsistent like the Preds, but yet they still have the point production to keep them in that wild card two spot. At some point, it's got to fall off. I don't know if it's going to be Askarov or Nedeljkovic in goal that's going to really hurt them, but the fact that they're just going to have to figure things out. And I think that's what they're doing right now. They're able to figure things out. And we go back to the one word that we've been harping on this segment and last segment, and it's consistency.
Yep. So it's a matter of finding your footing in this league, and it's a difficult league to find your footing in, but if you can, that establishes you as a playoff contender.
I believe I have it.
Do we have it? All right, let's hear Pizza Party.
We play
Pizza Party.
Pizza Party.
That is Ryan O'Reilly. Were you unaware of this?
I was unaware.
This was revealed on Smashville Live, and we have since discovered the song.
We got the sauce.
That's tomato sauce.
Does this hit home for you?
A little bit.
Because you're making your pizzas? You should start playing this at your next event.
I might just reach out to the factor and say, hey, you want a pizza?
Yeah. And would you like to be sponsored by Nico's?
I can help you out with that, factor, any day of the week.
You should get a live performance from the factor himself at your pizza party. Maybe in the summer when he's not busy.
This is great, great, great ideas.
You're welcome, America. You're welcome, Nashville. I'm glad I was able to provide you with that.
It's a red-blooded American right there.
True-blooded Americans. Call in if you want to talk about sports. Only sports.
There you go.
No commies.
Nothing else.
No commies, as he said that one time. I wonder if he listens.
Absolutely.
Does he?
Absolutely.
The Plaz?
Yep, absolutely.
We should have him on this program one day.
Let's do that.
That'd be tremendous.
Maybe
content.
Next weekend.
Well, I was thinking a little further in advance, but let's call him right now.
One phone call away.
Live on air.
He's probably sledding today, actually.
Oh, yeah.
George, yeah.
Him and Parker. They're on a tandem sled.
Yeah. I mean, look. It's
come
a
here, Parker. It's come a sit show in my
thing.
Lap.
It's a show thing, man. It's a show thing. Like, we could go sledding together. I mean, you just got to find the right hill. You know what? I would like to know that from our listeners. Where is the best place to sled?
How about that one right there? In the middle of the freeway.
Right there, yep. No, I think the Preds are going to go sledding here in a little bit in the right direction, and that's
hopefully the ice is tilted downward because that means they're playing well.
Exactly. Look all the that. Goals will fall into the net.
Yes, sir.
So.
Yes, sir. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you have thoughts. How could the Preds shore themselves up a playoff spot and get a little bit of consistency as we head towards the Olympic break here shortly? Coming up next, I got to figure something out, but Newt's Notes on the other side.
Oh, you
since
got
we have a elongated show. We'll do that coming up next right here on the Weekend Huddle on 102.5 The Game.
Do, shaboom. Life could be a dream. Shaboom. If I could take you up in paradise up above. Shaboom. If you would tell me.
Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. A little bit of a change of pace here for Newt's Notes. You know this movie's 20 years old?
Really?
Cars is 20 years old.
It's a staple on everybody's list of movies.
I mean, this is the top three movie of all time for me.
Carnit.
Nick Frazier.
Nick Frazier. Christian Skelton.
Here with you on the program.
Keeping you aware, weather aware as well.
We got to talk. Yes, we are. It is currently snowing, participating. Yep. Sleet is expected to hit around 1 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're driving safe out there in Nashville.
Around 6 p.m., freezing rain. So just if you're out there, be weather aware. Drive slow if you got to be out on the roads. If not, stay inside. Listen to the radio. We'll keep you updated with all the latest. But as of right now, just be weather aware.
Let's give you an update on the weather right now. It is currently 21 degrees, feels like 7.
Yeah, it's very chilly out there.
We are expecting about 4 inches of snow today. Let's see, about tomorrow, we are expecting about 2.
Yep.
So we're going to get about 6 inches of snow, I think, here in the Nashville area.
A high of 23 tomorrow and a low of 5. 5 degrees, single digits. So again, your faucets dripping if you have them. So.
You know what the low is Tuesday?
What is that?
0.
Oh my goodness.
Oh Lord.
Yeah, I'll pass on that one.
Yeah, we're good. I want to talk about the Bills situation going on right now.
Hmm.
Basically, Keon Coleman is at fault for everything, Nick. And it's their owner basically came out and said, yeah, drafting him was a coaching decision. I had no input in it whatsoever. And then a video resurfaces from 2 years ago of the owner just we got to draft Keon Coleman. We got to have him. So the fact that they are blaming a player for the struggles of this franchise, not being able to get over the hump into the Super Bowl, much less a win one, is just sad to me. They're searching for a scapegoat. Quite frankly, I don't think Sean McDermott should have been labeled the scapegoat. I think that's a mistake, letting him go. They're going to find out really soon what we're feeling here in Nashville, and that's Mike Vrabel being released and going on and succeeding somewhere else. And look, McDermott may take a year off, and quite frankly, I think that might be best for him because I don't think there are any jobs available right now outside of the Pittsburgh Steelers that are really worth taking. I mean, if you look at the job market right now, it's the Steelers, the Browns, the Raiders, and the Bills. Those are really the only four open that are worth anything. And of the two, you just got fired from one, and the other one, I think, is probably not going to go that direction. So I think the fact that they're searching for a scapegoat in this whole situation is pretty sad. It's not great. Keon Coleman, although he hasn't lived up to the expectations that he was given as a first-round draft pick, this is not on him. He's had his struggles. Wasn't he suspended for?
Yeah, look, I'm going to have to disagree. I think it is on him. He, you know, when you become a rookie in the NFL, you look for somebody as guidance that can help you mature as a player. I don't know if he found that in Buffalo because they continued to just try and recreate the wheel when it came to wide receivers. You now have Brandon Cooks a part of that wide receiver core, a decent wide receiver. But then you add Khalil Shakir, Gabe Davis. All those guys are wide receiver twos on a bunch of other teams. But, you know, when you go to Buffalo, they all rotate as a wide receiver one. But Keon Coleman, again, late to meetings, missed out on some practices, got suspended. I can't say it's not his fault. It definitely is his fault.
He's part of the problem.
Yeah.
But he's not the sole reason for the blame. Neither do I think the coach is. Let's not factor in that Josh Allen had 4 turnovers.
It's true.
In that AFC playoff game. Let's not factor in that half of your receiving core was out with injury. Half of your defense was out with injury. There were just things that, quite frankly, I can sum this up to, this franchise is cursed. It's not fun. But I think the fact that your owner, A, addressing the media on the situation, and B, just desperately searching for a scapegoat is quite frankly very sad to me.
Yeah, it really is. And I kind of go back to that Bills-Broncos game. Yes, Keon Coleman did have a touchdown in that game, but he dropped a touchdown as well. And I think on the ensuing play, he did score. But that's, you know, again, just catch the first ball that comes to you. And that's something that Buffalo has done is they've used their tight ends a lot more, Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid. And again, if Josh Allen makes that throw to, I believe it's Dawson Knox, around the 10-yard line, in the overtime, they win the football game. They don't have to worry about the Brandon Cooks interception catch, whatever that was. I mean, again, I'm with you. I don't think they should have used Sean McDermott as the scapegoat answer, which, again, Terry Pegula has said that He based it off of the result of that game against the Broncos. And I find it hard to believe. Again, that's something that you can't reiterate and say, oh, it's McDermott's fault because of the results of that game. They scored 30 points.
Right.
30 points against a really good defense.
Yeah.
The fact you go 8-8 in the playoffs and you have over a 50% winning percentage with the Buffalo Bills in your 9 seasons there, it can't be the coach. And again, somebody has to be at fault for it because you're not going to go fire Josh Allen. You're just not.
No.
You got to find somebody else to supplement.
The quarterback is the last person that you consider firing. But here's a stat for you.
Okay.
Since 2015, when Sean McDermott was hired, or I'm sorry, 2017, mm-hmm. when Sean McDermott was hired as the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, the Bills were on a 17-year playoff drought. Whew. They are also the only team in the NFL to win 10-plus games for 7 straight years. So, I mean, you can scapegoat the coach all you want. The fact of the matter is, he got results. And look, I don't think he's the greatest coach of all time. He's not, I don't know, you know, Bill Belichick or someone like that.
Right.
But he's an effective coach. He got results. 10 win seasons for the last 7 years. So I think he should have gotten another opportunity instead of trying to find a scapegoat. And the coach is always going to get the blame unless it's a new coach. Like, let's put it in the Titans situation. If things go south this year, who's getting the blame?
Robert Saleh.
No. Nope.
Things go south with the Titans?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be Robert Saleh.
But who's going to be the scapegoat and the first one fired?
Oh, it'll be either Chad Brinker or Borgonzi.
Bingo.
Yeah.
It'll be one of those two. It's always a cycle of the scapegoat. Okay, you just hired a coach. If things go wrong, you're going to fire the GM. We're going to find a new GM. If things go wrong there, then we fire the coach. Yeah. He's not getting the most out of the quarterback. If things go wrong there, we bring in a new coach. Maybe this quarterback's not good. Let's get rid of him. It's a circle. And Josh Allen, I think, has established himself as the kind of guy you simply just cannot get rid of.
Yeah.
Because of the caliber of play he provides. He's an MVP. He's a rushing quarterback. He's got a strong arm. He makes the most out of his opportunities. So he is the last person that you're going to blame in this one. And I think that's being indicated to you by the fact that he's sitting in on these coaching interviews. But I do think the fact that we're trying to find a scapegoat and the owner is coming out and saying, well, it's Keon Colwood's fault. We knew we should have drafted him. And, you know, Sean McDermott is apparently been the wrong hire all along to them, which is ridiculous to me that he's been there 9 years and we're just now coming to that conclusion after having 10 win seasons for the last 9 years. But I don't understand the narrative that this owner is trying to push out. I really don't. And I get it's a business.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is a dumb business philosophy.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, somebody had to be canned. It just unfortunate that it was McDermott. And you mentioned, you know, the Titans and Saleh, if things kind of go south this year. To me, I don't get too nitty-gritty with the record thing, but if the Titans don't win more than 3 games, or if they go 3-14 again, or if they go 4-16, or not 4-16, 4-12, excuse me, 4-12 or 5-11, that's, to me, not good enough. If they go 6-10, or in 7-9, that's where they need to be this year.
You need to see improvement
on
all levels. Record, defensive intensity, you need to see the quarterback take a step. You need to see the offensive production take a massive step. A lot of that is hinging on what they do in free agency in the draft.
And
we're not going to know for a little while on paper what this team looks like. And we're really not going to know what they look like on the field. But, you know, we'll see. 615-737-1025. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam in Portland is on our phone line waiting very patiently. Adam, go ahead.
Dude, are y'all at the studio on Murfreesboro Road?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
How the hell are y'all going to get down that hill?
Oh, we'll be all right.
Dude, that's bad. I used to work at Dell right there, so I'd always see people sliding off. So good luck.
Thank you.
Hey, quick question on what you guys are talking about here. So, McDermott, aren't you just like the least bit curious of what he'll look like without Josh Allen? Like,
a little bit.
Yeah, like, I don't know, man. I think he's a good coach, and I think defensively he's going to be fine wherever he goes. But, like, it's the same feeling I had with everybody who was on a team with Derrick Henry. I'm like, I've got to see what you look like. Now, Vrabel proved it, but, like, let me see what anybody looks like without Derrick Henry. And it's the same thing with Buffalo, man. Like, I think Josh Allen's always going to be a little bit competitive, like, or always kind of in it. But I don't know if McDermott's a good coach or not. I don't think anybody knows if he's a good coach. So that's where I'm at with it, dude. Like, I think it would have been an interesting hire. I think it would have been an interesting hire if the Titans could have found a way to get him. But I would also have been really nervous about it. With Saleh, it's kind of more of the same. We know what Saleh is defensively, but I don't know, man. I'm just curious to see who we get around Cam. Is there any update on the Daboll thing? Have I missed that, or is it still wait and see?
No, we're still in wait and see mode. The longer this goes on, the more likely I think he is the offensive coordinator. But yeah, we're still in wait and see mode.
Just puzzle it together, Adam, because McDaniel withdrew his name, and Daboll is already interviewed. I don't know if they have anybody else lined up for that Buffalo job to be interviewed, but if Dable's name is still in the hat, that's what concerns me. Is if the Titans do the wait-and-see game with Daboll and they miss out on their opportunity to find somebody else to supplement that. That's what is concerning to me. And you can't play the wait-and-see game when you have a guy in Robert Saleh that's going to be a first-year coach for the Titans, second term going around. Because a lot of those guys that are head coaches for the second time, their back's against the wall and they have to produce.
Well, also not for – by the way, you two on this show, man, I'm loving this show. my thing and I'll leave you alone after this. I'm also like – super excited that he brought Bones Fossil back. Like that means he's at least smart enough to understand that some things worked here. Most of it didn't, but like I was going to be bummed out if we lost Bones Fossil. So yeah, he's giving me a little bit of hope heading into free agency, man. I can get through the rest of these playoffs, and then that's when the loser teams win, is when you get past the Super Bowl. You're like, all right, it's our time to shine at the top of the draft. And you know, we got a little bit of money in free agency. So I think it'll be fun, man. Y'all stay safe out there. Be careful.
We appreciate it, Adam. Yeah. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I think it is an interesting point. What does Sean McDermott look like without Josh Allen? That we do not know.
And again, if Josh Allen continues to go on a downward spiral, I'm not saying he's regressing as a quarterback, but then that just validates it was not McDermott's fault. And let's remember, he still has Joe Brady as his offensive coordinator.
That's who I think will be the Bills' next head coach.
Really? Just going to interim hire?
I think they just do the inside hire. That's what I think the Browns do, too, with Jim Schwartz. Texter on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 9828 says, McDermott to the Raiders with Mendoza as his quarterback. Success.
Wouldn't be opposed to that.
I wouldn't be opposed to that. The thing is, the Raiders is the job that has come out and you've heard just absolutely nothing about. Like, I don't know who the front runner is. Apparently, Mike McDaniel's still in consideration for that one, but he's withdrawn from the Browns and the Bills jobs. So maybe he just really wants to be in Vegas, which would not surprise me knowing his personality.
I was reading something the other day, possibly Clint Kubiak putting his name in the hat for the Raiders job.
I think the Raiders are waiting for these four teams left so they can get someone in the building.
Yeah.
Like Clint Kubiak or Jesse Minter was the Rams guy, but or the Chargers guy. Maybe the Broncos offensive coordinator, whose name is escaping me, but he's like 30. So
talking about Vance Joseph, DC?
No. Offensive coordinator.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that.
His name's escaping me.
I'll get it for you.
Regardless, I think they're waiting for one of these playoff contender coaches to get into the building.
Joe Lombardi.
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly what I was talking about. I think that's what's going to happen.
Interesting.
Because that's what they want. I think they're desperate enough to do that.
I mean, you never know. What about Nathan Shielhouse that we were talking about earlier?
Nathan Shielhouse. There you go.
He works for the Rams right now as the...
Or maybe Chris Shula. Yeah.
Possibly.
I think they're waiting for a playoff coach currently playing for a conference championship.
And again, Tom Brady, he's fielding his opportunities right now. I mean, look, he went to the national title game with the whole entire Raiders brass, and they're on the sideline watching Mendoza throw. I mean, it just definitely shows you he's going to be number one. And again, if you bring in a guy like McDermott, I think that's a good fit for him with the Raiders because defensive-minded guy can help restructure that defense, and they already have the young offensive core pillars, Ginty, Mendoza, if it is him,
Bowers,
and maybe Jack Beck.
And Tyree Wilson,
yeah,
who has done absolutely nothing.
Dante Thornton.
There you go. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Bonus 30 minutes for us here on the program as we get you set for Preds hockey in an Ice Age matchup, which is appropriate for the weather today. And we'll give you a weather update on the other side as well. They take on the Utah Mammoth with pregame beginning at 11:30. We're taking you up until then. Coming up next, We'll talk about conference championships. The Patriots and the Broncos, and of course the Seahawks and the Rams, which I think is going to be the game of the weekend. We'll do that coming up next for hour number 2.5 here on 102.5 The Game.